Wake them that sleepeth, arise from the dead. Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Isaiah 55:12. In our relation with people and things, we gain experience. This enables us to discern our actions and thoughts. One thing is that when we discern what we are doing, we will see if we are dependent or not on people and things. If we are thus dependent, then we will find that our minds are full of wants, hopes, desires, cravings, envy, greed, etc. For this is caused through dependence upon people and things. If we are caught up in this way, we only find sorrow, fear, and conflict. But if we deeply discern what we are doing, we can free ourselves through understanding the real behind all people and things. It's a tragedy to see so many people in the world today dependent upon things and people, instead of dependent upon that which in itself is the creator of all people and things, that which is within oneself, the reality, that is the creative principle in God and also the creative principle in man, the same. The Father who hath life in himself grants the Son to have life in himself. Are you not the great miracle? You are the great miracle. No one knows how you came forth except God. God alone knows how you have come forth into this world. No one knoweth except the Father. And because no one knoweth except the Father knoweth all things in you and through you. That is why the Master always gives himself this final act, not my will, but thy will be done. But if we are dependent upon people and things, then we are lost in the effects we see before us. You cannot depend upon any person, nor can you depend upon anything. These things are illusive, and not only illusive, but they have no power of their own, none whatsoever. All power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. That is the only solution when we recognize the true nature of that which is within ourselves. But we cannot realize this until we discern our minds. And we see the world today the exact copy of our own minds and actions. Look into your own mind, heart, and you will see these antagonisms, these wishes, these beliefs. We have made progress. Oh, yes, we have made progress. But at what a price we have made for the progress we have gathered together. Yes, of course, we have now ships in the air, our transport is moving faster and faster. Society is becoming more complex, more exploitation. We can now kill thousands and thousands of people in a few minutes. We can destroy a town in the flash of an atomic bomb. Progress. Yes, that's progress. Where is this progress going to lead us? Because we're dependent upon outer things, men, people, and things, instead of realizing the great truth of the timeless, the eternal, in where alone is peace and true progress. Unity of man seems to be a difficult thing and so far off, but that unity is now, at this very moment. We don't have to look forward to this unity and say the next war will bring us unity, and the next one becomes a bigger war than ever, and we'll go on still. I remember when 1914-18 war, we were told we were going to the war, it was going to end all wars. Then the next came, we said that this war is going to end all wars, and we find another one staring us in the face. Each one has been worse than the one before it. Each one has been more diabolical. But you'll say then, the reason for it is this, the reason for it is that, because you don't know. But if you look inside yourselves, you will see the reason for it. You will see that the mind is the exact copy of your own minds and actions. Therefore, how are you going to rearrange the world that you have created? Without changing the inner, you cannot get the outer changed. Yes, you may legislate for this and that. You may change the outer for a time. But you only create more antagonism, more strife, more sorrow. Legislation won't bring you peace. Leagues of nations won't bring you peace. Only that peace that is already in man must come forth. So man must discern his own mind and see that which is hindering the progress of this unity that is exactly now, this moment. The timeless. You must get out beyond this element of time. We are living in the element of time tomorrow, next year, and so forth, and that will never come. Never. We'll say then, we must discern what we're doing. And you will say that it'll take a long time before the people will come to realize that. I say, yes. But it'll take a damn sight longer, the way that we're going about it now. And this starts with ourselves. If we do not know the difference between the real, that which is greater within, that creates, and the outer, the created, we will continue in our ignorance to add to all suffering. Paul tells us, in other words, that things are not made out of things seen, but out of that which is unseen. We're connected to the outer world by our brain mind. The cerebrospinal puts us in touch with every part of the body. This system responds to sensations such as vibration of light, sound, taste, smell, hearing, feeling. Fear may arise from any of these vibrations, which will cause messages to be sent all over the body, causing inharmony. When we are aware of the greater within, the nervous system sends constructive impulses of peace, of harmony, which react upon the body, causing perfect harmony, perfect health. Therefore, on the outer, we use our senses to get all those experiences through fear, apprehension, hope, sensation. Granted, you get your experiences that way. I no doubt it is necessary for you to get those experiences, because if you did not know these things, you would never know reality. And it is discerning those things properly to see them for what they are, then it uncovers reality. You do not create reality. You do not, as a matter of fact, force reality to come through you. Reality comes through itself as its own free will when you make a path for it, when you clear the debris away, when you wipe the mist away from the windscreen, so you will see clearly. So when you wipe the mist away from your mind, that which is real will manifest itself just as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow morning. In this lesson, I want to go into the various phases of the mind so we can better understand what is taking place. We already know that there is but one mind, but in this one mind there are many phases of action. Universal mind is the vehicle of expression through which God and man are united in action in all phases of activity. Because this universal mind responds to God's consciousness as the vehicle through which creation takes place, and this universal mind responds to man's consciousness so that his creation also will be created in the same way. The mode of action is the same. The only difference is in degree. Because we are the individualization of reality, but we have never really realized this great fact. And you can never know this, the individualization, until such time you have cleansed the mind. God created man. He also created the earth and all that is in it and on it. Minerals, vegetables, trees, plants, beasts of all kinds, all are his creation. When man fears, he temporarily loses the unity which he has and always had through the word that was in the beginning, as explained in my lesson last week, in the word that was with God, the Word that was God, and the Word that was made flesh. This is the Word that God created the world through faith. Same Word that Jesus used in all his so-called miracles. To us and to many others, these things seem a miracle. But when you understand the Master's mind, there is no longer a miracle. It's the application of Father doing his work through the Son. Nothing more. But the Son's mind must be clear to allow the Father to do this work. And clear of what? Clear of beliefs. Clear of superstitions. Clear of hatreds. Clear of envies. Clear of dependence upon people and things. Clear of all these things completely so that the mind will be clear. Then that which is reality itself manifests through it just as the sun shines in the morning. There is no clouds to hide the sun's ray in the mind of man when he discerns his own thoughts and actions. I can see clearly what the Master did when he went 40 days and 40 nights into the wilderness. I can see how he eliminated from his mind all the things that were relative. Then, after he dealt with that and cleansed his mind, then the great power of the self started to rise up within him when he recognized the tremendous power. So this self said to him, I will give you all that you see before you if you bow down and worship me. He says, get behind me, see. You can go to the top of the temple and cast yourself down, and your angel of heaven will support you. Not a single scratch will you have, he said. No, although he knew he could do all these things, yet the Father was not working, that was the self, to prove certain things. You require no proof. There is no proof required. Everybody is looking for a proof, but you will never get a proof. The proof is within yourselves. Yes, if I perform the miracle this very moment, and I said that proves to you that such, you'd go away, you'd forget all about it, but your minds will just be the same. It wouldn't change you one iota. You would say, yes, it was wonderful, but did it change you inside? No, of course not. Never will. And the master knew that clearly, because I can see it myself so easily. Surely the master knew it well enough too, because he had a greater mind than mine. Later in this lesson, I will show you how Jesus opened up to his disciples the inner realm that the greater majority of people today do not know or understand. In the one mind, there are different manifestations working or performing their own particular tasks. All these also work in and through us. In the vegetable world, there is a mental action that absorbs the necessary minerals so that the various fruits and vegetables grow into fruition. These two mental activities, mineral and vegetable, exist in man under the control of his instinctive mind, where all are absorbed and blended so it keeps man's body in a healthy condition. Here then is an instinctive principle. The minerals are absorbed into the vegetables, and vegetables and the minerals absorbed into man's body. There is an instinctive nature through man's body, then it works upon these things, takes them to the various places they are required. There is millions of workers in the body, such as red corpuscles and various other carrying entities, who carry these particular particles of food and minerals and vegetable matter to the parts of the body where it's required, to make blood, to make bone for your liver and for your heart and all the rest of the machinery. And this is going on instinctively 24 hours a day without any termination whatsoever. But this instinctive principle goes through the whole of nature, through your body, through mind, through the whole of animal nature. Everywhere we see the same instinctive principle. That is a plane of activity, a mental action in the one mind, creating and growing and repairing and preserving. Men as well as animals are also creatures of habit. Good habits and bad habits have the effect upon us, affect our health, happiness. This we all know one way or another. Then we have our intellectual faculties. The intellect is filled with truth and error at the same time. It is here where we must discern what is true and what is false. The mind absorbs what it hears and what it believes. Those beliefs have no foundation in truth. Nevertheless, they create much strife when they are at variance with one another in the mind. But you'll see then that these ideas you absorb in the mind, in another fashion will absorb certain ideas, and because your ideas clash, you have then what we call it war. There is confusion and conflict, because you think that these ideas are truth. You never quarrel over the truth, you only quarrel over ideas, and that is not the truth. So your mind is filled with intellectual junk, and you progress. One after another, you get more and more, and you cast this aside and that aside and so forth, and your mind is so filled with confusion, sometimes you do not know where you are. There are so many different religions in the world: Hinduism, Mohammedanism, Christian Science, Christian, so forth, and all the various phases of Christianity. But 250 different denominations, all on the same string, all at variance with one another over ideas. We also have our intuitional powers, through which higher knowledge is acquired. Our intuition leads us into the truth of things. And there are ways and means for man to open up to this great faculty and free himself from many of the perplexities that haunt him today. It is through this faculty man gains spiritual understanding. Consciousness is a directing power through all these planes of manifestation. You will notice then there is something behind all these things. If your mind absorbs something, something is there to direct the mind to absorb it. And if that which is directing the mind is ignorant of the source of its own being, then it will cause conflict. Therefore, the consciousness of God is involved in all these processes of mind as a director. And as the consciousness unfolds, so does the consciousness become aware of what is hidden beyond what the ordinary man sees and feels. And when you begin to discern all the relative, the consciousness begins to unfold, and behind that, then, there is a visual. A vision that comes through intuition. A faculty that no one knows what it is except that we have it. I can't tell you what it is, but we know that we have it. We go into a state of observation. What we call divine observation, or we call listening in peace and in silence. And listening in this silence then pours in the great truth. Even at this moment I'm talking to you, I do not have to think what I'm going to say. The words come out through my mouth, flowing out clearly and distinctly because I am using that instrument, but I don't know how it comes about. Neither do you. Only God knows, because I am the miracle. I am His miracle, and He alone knows how I came forth. Because He alone knows me, He works through me because I recognize only Him and no other. Neither father nor mother nor brother nor sister. I only recognize Him as the source of all things. I do not depend upon people and things, because I know that He is everywhere. Psychologists have divided the mind into two bits, and have got horribly mixed up in the process. 90% of our mental action we perform in the inner region of the mind, and that which views the external is comparatively small when we consider the great hidden ramifications of the mind. So that personal consciousness on the outside we have through our senses are very, very limited, because what do we see through the senses? Only superficial. We say there's a glass, it's water, but you can't tell me what water is. You can tell me the elements of water. You can tell me hydrogen, oxygen, H2O, but anybody knows that. We know all the chemical constituents of anything, but that's not the thing itself. There is something far behind the chemical constituents of anything. We can tell you what an atom is, but there's something behind the atom you don't know. The external consciousness is like an iceberg with its crystal peak showing above the waterline, yet 9/10 of the total is underneath the waterline. The crystal peak above resenting attention to its submerged self and out of that which it arose, and into that which it will one day return. So it is with the mind of man. It arose out of that great ocean of mind, universal mind. Just as his body has grown and rose out of that great universal substance, so behind it is the universal mind, so behind the universal mind is the consciousness, the director of all things. Yes, and I'll say to you, that's me. That's you. But you haven't gained it yet because you're still fearful about certain things. You live in the future, you live in the past. You live in the memories of your past, you live in the hopes of your future. and you forget exactly the ever-present now, the timeless now, now, now. That which is timeless do not live in the past or the future. There is no past or future in the timeless. Timeless is eternity, eternal and ever-present, always. Now is the only time. I am the Spirit of God in me, is the same Spirit that manifests in the great portion of the universe. It's timeless. Therefore, why should I depend upon things external to myself? Why should I depend on people and things? Can't you see now the great significance of the wonderful truths the Master said? When his disciples said to him, Rabbi, won't you have something to eat? And he turned to them and he said, I have food of which you know nothing. And they said again, has someone brought him something to eat that we do not know? He was talking about that which I'm trying to show you. The external consciousness then is very limited. The most wonderful thing to understand is that the universal mind that created the individual will create for the individual just what he thinks. Although the universal mind will create for us just what we think, it still maintains its own perfect harmony decreed by its divine nature. And once we discern our own inharmonious creations, we dissolve them, yet eternal harmony remains the true nature underlying all things, including man. What a wonderful truth this is. Well, you will say to yourselves, all this time I have been so stupid I haven't seen this thing. Yet you know perfectly well it's your own mind that created these inharmonious conditions. And to discern them, they dissolve away. People think that the truth is so difficult. Yes, I know it is difficult. Only difficult to the mind that is crammed with stupidity. But when the mind is clear, it is easy. There's nothing easier in the world. It itself is expressing itself all the time. But you fear this, you fear that, you're hopeful for this, and you doubt this, and you doubt that. You're dependent on people, you're dependent on things, and all the rest of it. How do you think then that that which is harmonious can express itself through your inharmonious mind? The majority have not yet learned to think for themselves. They think in groups or collectively. Consequently, they may only give birth to one original idea but once in a lifetime. They merely echo the thought of others, and those are chiefly conformity, tradition, sickness, lack, disease, old age, and death. The same old routine over and over again until humanity becomes like a prisoner on a treadmill, going round and round until the consciousness begins to create a clearing by understanding and love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. What a pity. But the world is so stupid and so blind. No wonder the Master wept when he saw the ignorance of the people. He wasn't weeping because Lazarus was dead, because he knew Lazarus was alive. He knew there was no such thing as death, because he was life himself. And I am life, you are life. Let the dead bury the dead. Awake them that sleepeth, the minds are asleep. crammed with foolishness and stupidity. They are dead. That's why the Master said, let the dead bury the dead. Don't believe in death, let them bury the dead. My Father is the Father of the living, not of the dead. You and I are an expression of the consciousness of the Great Supreme. We have passed many stages and will pass many more as we unfold more and more of the glory that is ours from the beginning. Universal mind itself contains the essence of the great evolutionary process and contains all that which has yet to be unfolded, waiting to spring forth in our consciousness when we are ready. And as humanity as a whole makes progress, these faculties will manifest through the race, yet there are those of the vanguard out in front. So I say now, it is you who are now learning the deeper truths of this. Not those who are always seeking the truth to obtain something outside themselves. Seeking the truth to obtain health, seeking the truth to obtain money, wealth, position. Well, I don't want anybody that is dead. Let them go to people who preach that nonsense. I don't want any student of mine to want the truth for anything but the truth itself. Because if you do, the truth you have is false. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and the right use of that kingdom, and all shall be added unto you. First you must find the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is within us. We as a whole look back in disgust at the injustice done to our brothers and sisters who were accused and persecuted for spiritual gifts. The Master himself, the greatest example of this suffering. There must nevertheless always be pioneers in the van of progress, and you and I are in that line of progress, although you may not realize it. Man's body is built up of minute cells. The instinctive mind builds into these cells the necessary mineral, vegetable, and protein substance taken from the food we eat and that which we drink. Here we have the mineral, vegetable, and animal mental principle working through us all under consciousness, building and repairing our bodies under the direction of the instinctive principle within the one mind. The instinctive principle controls and directs the functions of our bodies. It has a great experience behind it, yes, back and through the ages. All the natural reproduction of the species, appetites, desires, feelings, and emotions belonging to the process of evolution. Hate, anger, jealousy, and all these things belong to our primitive nature, which has not yet been sublimated through understanding. I'm going to draw you a few lines now. We'll assume that this universal mind, a very poor simile, because the universal mind includes everything. In fact, it includes all space, even boundless space. It goes beyond. There is no part of the universe where it's not. It includes planets, stars, everything you think of. Nothing can exist outside. It must all exist in the universal mind. And all these processes of activity, and you also live in the universal mind. This is a plane, we call it a mineral plane. We'll make this number one, for instance. And we'll see this is the vegetable plane. We'll call that number two. And we'll see this is the instinctive plane. We'll call it three. The instinctive mind. This is the animal mind. You're all refined animals. Everyone is refined. Yes, you've got animal tissue in you. Bodies are made up of that tissue. Then comes the fourth one. We'll call it the habit mind. Then we will have another one here. We'll call that five, intellectual. Then we will have the intuitional. We'll call this six. And above that, again, there is the greater one of all, which is spiritual. We'll call it seven. The seven planes of mind and in man. Man's consciousness is in spirit all the time, manifesting through all these planes and manifestation. All right, now we will see what takes place. The vegetable becomes active, it's planted in the ground, absorbs all the mineral into it. The various minerals that it's acquired falls into the vegetable, and the vegetable takes on whatever species it is, whether it's a turnip or a carrot or whatever the case may be, it attracts the various minerals into it so that it grows. And these minerals and the vegetable matter is absorbed into the animal tissue. The animal tissue absorbs the mineral and vegetable into the animal tissue and is controlled by the instinctive principle, that intelligence that works through the whole of your body that knows where to take it. If you have a bone structure, it requires calcium, it will take the calcium out of your food and will take it to the bone where it's required. If it is a soft tissue, it will take sodium there. If it is the blood, if it wants iron, it will take the iron there. If it's the nerve, it will take magnesium and also potassium. It will take these minerals into your nerves. If it's on the bone structure on the outside, calcium, fluorine, it will take that to the outside and build a hard tissue on your teeth and your bones. If it's a mucous membrane, it will take sodium phosphate and sodium chloride into the tissue, and that then helps keep the tissue healthy. All these things are done by this instinctive principle known as the instinctive mind. This is your animal body, and it acts automatically. It's an automatic machine. Nature takes care of it. Now comes the trouble. Here's the troublemaker. Habit. You perform a habit once or twice, three or four times, becomes a habit. If it's a bad habit, then it affects the whole of that structure. Good habits will entice and encourage the instinctive mind to become active according to nature. When you learn nature's laws, then you abide by nature's laws. When you create bad habits and you find that your body then takes on the habit controls it. Then comes the intellectual portion of our mind, what we think. On this side, we have the five senses through the intellect. We take from what we read, what we think, what we feel, what you believe. It goes into this intellectual mind underneath this, what we call the subconscious part of this intellectual mind, where all your memories are. So you're continually changing, absorbing, and throwing out, and then you have confusion. Error and truth side by side. Confusion of the five senses, confusion of the intellect. If you live in the intellect alone, then you're sure to be confused. That's why nearly all intellectual people who haven't a modicum of the truth are very sick. There's always something wrong with them. But when you get a lot of the truth, then this comes into operation, intuition. An intuition faculty is something above the personal consciousness of the five senses. And you obtain this from above because the consciousness is flowing all through those particular centers all the time. The consciousness becomes aware then of things above the senses. And by doing so, the consciousness becomes aware. Aware. And it becomes aware that it changes all this down below. It says, you stupid ass, you know quite well what you're thinking is confusion. It's not true. It's only temporary. You've learned it from books. So then comes the higher of all things. Here then in spirit is Christ. Here is the consciousness in the complete Christ that flows through every human soul, through the whole universe, the Christ principle, God, the highest principle there is. It's where the consciousness dwells, and there are you in the center. That is the cross, the complete thing, where the consciousness of the Christ comes in through the intuitional faculty, through the intellectual faculty, down through the habit mind, through the instinctive mind, and in everything is clarified. Everything is brought into operation. The very divine nature then changes. The outer changes, the inner, and Jesus knew it when he said yes. It will come, he says, when the inner becomes the outer, and the outer becomes the inner. So we see the instinctive principle, the bee stores its honey, the birds build its nest, the mother to care for her young, but also the principle that is influenced by suggestion, etc. Habit principle is that which lies between the intellectual and the instinctive. It is that portion of the mind that automatically performs any act which has been repeated so often that the mind knows how to carry it on under consciousness, the playing of an instrument, a typewriter, etc. There are hundreds of examples you all know of. The habit mind looks after there. The habit principle is upset when you do things differently, the habitual way of doing them. How do you put your coat on, etc.? Habit mind also causes trouble when a wrong habit is established. Smoking, drinking, etc. are just a few of the many examples. It's the most funniest thing in the world to try and put your coat on opposite to the way that you regularly do it every morning. Try it out and see, and you'll find how you fumble and fumble to get your coat on. Why? Because the habit mind is disturbed. We then have the intellectual reasoning part of our mind. This part absorbs what we learn about things and stores it away for use when required. What we read, study, whether it is true or not, our beliefs, etc., are held in this part of the mind. The greater part of our reasoning is done underneath the conscious realm. All the facts, right or wrong, are stored there. That is why opinions are so often erroneous, because of the material we absorb. Truth and falsehood exist side by side. I have more to say about this in the next lecture. Genius dwells in our intuitional power. This function of the mind can be called superconscious, or above the consciousness of man's natural life. Our intuition comes from that part above the senses. It is this wonderful region where genius dwells. All prophets, writers, poets have felt that their power comes from some higher source. For all truth, all knowledge is locked up, waiting for man to be opened up to it. It is the voice of the divine spirit piercing the sheath down into man's consciousness. And as man looks up, he begins to hear the voice of the spirit. And it gets stronger and stronger as we begin to understand the master's words, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." Jesus opened a new world to his disciples, Peter, James, and John, when he took them up the mountain to pray. They all sat together. For a while, listening in earnest to the Master explaining that the veil that separates the visible from the invisible is but an ether veil. And for those who will purify their hearts through faith, the veil is rent, and then it is seen that death is but an illusion. And you will see the life that never fades away. How wonderful this great truth is. How few of us realize it. Jesus prayed, and as he did, his form became radiant. His face shone like the sun, and his garments whiter than the driven snow. Son of Man became the Son of God. This was the transfiguration so that his disciples could see the possibilities of all mankind. And here was the great mind, the great consciousness of peace, waiting to come into the lives of everyone in the universe, in this world today. Waiting to come into the lives of every person living today. But the door is closed fast against it. Why? Because of people's senselessness, because of their stupidity, because they will not discern where they are going or what they are doing. And we leave the reformation of the world to some other individuals who know less than ourselves. So we carry on doing the same old stupid things. Yes, we are making progress, all right. But what a price we're paying for it. Why? Because we are progressing on the outside without the spiritual progression that is necessary as the only power to harmonize man's actions, to bring peace to the external. Just see the masses, look at them, and you will see how stupid they are. Look into your own minds and you will see how stupid you are too. To see that we ourselves will condone all these things that are taking place. At first, the power put his disciples to sleep, so that the Master had to touch their eyes and said, "Awake and see the glory of the Lord." They also saw the glory of the heavenly world, for they beheld too men shining forth beside the Master. Peter asked, "Master, who are those two men who stand in our midst?" The Master answered, "These are Moses and Elijah, who come that you may know that heaven and earth are one." And Peter said, "Praise God, this is the gate of heaven." And yet, his disciples did not know, yet they had not seen nor heard the great things that Christ knew. But Jesus knew and must have known Moses and Elijah. And this was 2,000 years after Moses and Elijah had departed from the earth. But they still existed there. His disciples did not fully comprehend, for Peter said, "May I go down and bring three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah?" And the Master said, "No." Then Moses and Elijah talked with the Master about his forthcoming trial, about the wonders of the resurrection morn and the transmutation of his flesh and the ascension in the clouds. These were spiritual things that come from the spiritual world which we all live in now, this very moment. Don't you see then that the very Christ that is the Christ of God existing in you is a consciousness that is functioning and is blinded and hindered by all this? Nevertheless, when we recognize this, this was the thing that Jesus saw, the self. That was the secret. He said, get you behind me, Satan. I am not of this world, I am of a greater world. Therefore his consciousness was and so are you and mine. It's the individualization of the consciousness of God. The Christ, the only begotten Son of God in the world. All this was symbolic of the way every man must tread, symbolic of the way the sons and daughters of man become sons and daughters of God. And out of the ether the voice spoke, let all the earth hear, so that the Christ shall be revealed to all souls on earth. And when the disciples heard the voice, they were afraid. And Jesus spoke to them, fear not, for I am here. And when they looked again, Moses and Elijah had gone. And when they came down, they talked about this scene. But Jesus forbid them to tell anyone until he had ascended. Here is a wonderful story. It leads us into a greater understanding that what existed on Mount Sinai exists at this very moment. There is no change in the timeless. Timeless does not change. We can change our character. We can modify it, we can mold it. But that does not change the inner which we have to change ourselves. Although we can modify our character, change our character, we can discern that which is good and which is not good, whatever the case may be. But unless we discern what we are thinking, unless we know what we are doing, we will never change the inner and we will never change the outer. So it is not character that is going to give us freedom and peace, but understanding and love. Because these two are the two pillars upon which man is built. The love of God and the understanding of man. These two pillars. And unless we understand them, unite them in ourselves as one, we will still go on adding to the misery of the world. And it's miserable enough already, without us adding any more to it. Can this catastrophe be averted? Can it be turned aside? Yes, only if man's mind will change, only through man himself. I'm not afraid. A lot of people are afraid. They fear this and they fear that. They think about what might happen. Yes, we have dominated the world too long. We have created an opposition that is destroying ourselves. And immediately we create anything that dominates, we create an opposition that is sure going to destroy that domination. We have created, and with it we are destroyed. I say definitely that the white races have dominated the world too long. They've created an opposition that is ready to destroy the white people. And I say, yet the white people have a power that can direct and raise the standard, that their minds can lift into a higher source of truth and lead the world to peace and harmony. Will you do it? Is the white race capable of doing it? I say yes. Benediction, O cosmic life, thou art one only. Thou hast expressed thyself through Moses and the prophets, through Jesus and through us all. We are all one. Thou art the ocean of life. We are the drops, one and the same. Thou art the Father, Mother. We are thy children. We exist in thee forever. Thou art the lover. We are the loved, for we are one. Thou art the music. We are the rhythm. We can never be separate. Thou art the eternal. We are in eternity. O beloved cosmic life.